Bible invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts Him, Psalm 34:8. In our hectic day-to-day, we really need to carve out some time in the Word of God. It feels so good to be refreshed by drawing close to the Father. Lighthouse FM Radio is pleased to present Bible truths to help you experience His faithful leading in your life. So grab your pen and your Bible and join us now as Pastor Bob Windsor shares today's message.
Now, if our desire and our mission is to connect people to Jesus, then understand, our church will grow. Do you want our church to grow? Is that not the mission? Is to grow the family of Jesus Christ. So the question I want to address here is, how do we grow the church? And that's what my message is entitled, Because You Said So. Now, if we want to grow the church, there are a couple of things we need to do. And the first thing we need to do is this. We need to make room. We need to make room for Jesus, and we need to make room for others. Now, have you ever noticed that we have a tendency to make room for the things in life that we like? Now, is there anybody here who, like me, you love food? Any food lovers in the church? And by food, I mean dessert. Anybody here? Oh, now more hands went up. Some of you don't like food. You just like dessert. I happen to like desserts that combine chocolate and cake. I am a chocolate cake lover. Please don't send me chocolate cake because I've been losing weight and I haven't had a chocolate cake in a while. But I love desserts. Now, I don't know about you, but there are people in this church who can cook. And sometimes you get invited over to one of those people and they can really cook and they feed you. And then you look at them and they'll offer you seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths. If anybody got a Ukrainian in the family, you know what I'm talking about. But you'll say to them, no, thank you. I want to save room for what? Dessert. How many of you have ever gone to grandma's and you knew grandma was going to put on a feed? That's what we say in Newfoundland when we mean feast. Grandma's putting on a feed, and you know there's going to be a ton of food. And I would go to grandma's. Now, grandma's solution to every problem in life was food. Oh, you broke up with your girlfriend? You need to eat. Oh, you lost your job? You need to eat. You're dying? It's because you need to eat, okay? Grandma's solution to everything was you need to eat. I loved my grandma. And so there were times I knew we were going to grandma's, and I wouldn't eat all day because I wanted to make sure I had room for all that food. Have you ever noticed that we tend to make room for those things in life that are important to us? As a matter of fact, I can tell what your priorities are by what you make room for in your life. If your family's important to you, you make room for family, don't you? If your hobbies are important to you, you make room for your hobbies. If your job is important to you, you'll make room for your job. We have this tendency to make room for those things that are important in our lives. So let me ask you, how important is church growth in your life? How important is it to you that others become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? Because if that is important to you, and if that is what you want, then you need to make room for Jesus. Now, where do I get that from? Well, I actually get it from our scripture reading today. Maybe you want to take your Bibles and follow along. It's in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, and this is what we read. Now, it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, this is the Bible's way of saying Jesus could pack the house. Everywhere Jesus went, it was a full crowd. I mean, the church was packed. I mean, people came out in hundreds and thousands to listen to Jesus speak. Now, the question I want to ask you is this. Why is it that Jesus could pack the house? Was it because he was the Son of God? Was it because he was performing miracles? Was it because he was this charismatic and wonderful speaker? Is that why Jesus drew the crowds? The text actually tells us what it was. He was preaching and teaching the Word of God, because last week we talked about this. Jesus' mission was to connect people to the Father, and Jesus went around telling people about God because he wanted people to understand God's character of love. And everywhere Jesus went, he says, do you know the Father? Let me tell you about the Father. And Jesus' mission on this earth was to show people who the Father really is. But now today, our mission is no different. Our mission as a church is to connect people to Jesus. And that tells me if our mission is to connect people to Jesus, then we're going to have to make room for Jesus. Do you know why? Because you can't give away what you don't have. You cannot invite somebody into a relationship with Jesus if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You can't pour into others from an empty cup. In order to share Jesus, you need to know Jesus. And to know Jesus, you need to make room in your life for Jesus. And so the first thing we want to do if we're going to grow this church is that we need to make sure that in our own personal lives and as a church that we have made room for Jesus. But that's not all. If we want to grow this church, we not only want to make room for Jesus, but we also need to make room for other people. So if we want to grow the church, we need to make room for Jesus and for people. Now watch this. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and washing their nets. How many boats did Jesus see? He saw two. Now, one of those boats belonged to a man by the name of Simon Peter. And here's what you need to know. Simon Peter, at this point in life, was not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Simon Peter went on to become Peter, who went on to become the leader of the Christian church. Do you know what that tells me? That if you're a Christian today, it's because Jesus got into your boat. If you're a Christian today, if you're a born-again Seventh-day Adventist Christian or a born-again Christian, it's because Jesus got into your boat and changed your life. And I'd like to suggest that if your life right now, it's a little bit of a mess, maybe it's a little bit shipwrecked, maybe it's because Jesus isn't in your boat. But that's a sermon for another time. Jesus saw two boats, and he asked them to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and he began teaching the people from the boats. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and he began teaching people from the boat. I want you to get the full impact of this. Jesus went into the city of Capernaum that morning to preach the gospel. And he stood on a street corner and he began to preach, and the street became full. So then he moved it to the marketplace, the center of the city, and he started preaching the gospel, and the city became so full it couldn't handle all the people. So Jesus said, we need to make room, and he took the preaching down by the lake. Actually, you would better know this as the Sea of Galilee. Jesus wanted to make sure that there was more room, not less, so that everybody could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he comes up to Simon and he says, Simon, we need to make some room. Simon, I want to make sure that there's room for everybody. Jesus was determined that there was enough room for everybody. Now let me ask you, if Jesus were to show here today, would he find enough room for everybody? Would he find enough room in our parking lot? Would he find enough room in our Sabbath schools? Would he find enough room in our pews? Because understand, for Jesus, it's about making more room and not less. And Jesus will not lead and not grow a church that's not willing to make more room for others. How many of you know the name Edson White? Anybody here recognize that name? He is the second son of James and Ellen White, and he was a preacher. I mean, this man was an evangelist, and God had put it on his heart to preach to a community that nobody was preaching to. It was the black community. And he believed that God had put it on his heart that the black community needed to hear the gospel and the three angels' message as much as anybody else. So Edson was under the conviction that the gospel needed to be preached to everybody, but especially the black community in the South. So he went out and he bought a steamboat, and he renovated it and he turned it into a church. Do you know what he called it? He called it the Morning Star. And he would travel up and down the Mississippi River, and he would stop at every community along the way, and he would invite people to come out for Bible studies and to worship with him on Saturday. And what most people don't realize is that Edson actually held most of his worship services in the beginning, and I don't mean evangelistic series. He held most of his worship services on a Sunday rather than a Saturday. Now, which day of the week do we Seventh-day Adventists worship on? Sabbath. And so here we have a Seventh-day Adventist holding worship services on a Sunday. Now, why do you think he was doing that? Because the people in the community said to Edson, we can't come out and we won't come out on a Saturday, but if you hold worship services on a Sunday, we'll come out and we'll listen to what you have to say. Now, Edison, being a Seventh-day Adventist, gave it some thought, and he said, you know what? I need to make room. I need to make room in my life so that if I have to, I'll hold a worship service on a Sunday so that I can teach them the truth about the Sabbath and Saturday so that I can win them to Jesus. And that is exactly what he did, and guess what? It worked. He held those worship services on a Sunday. He preached the Sabbath as we find it in Scripture and as we believe it as Seventh-day Adventists, and people were converted. So much so that he ran out of room on the Morning Star, and he had to take it from his boat into the inland. And that's when they began to build churches. He was so successful that he actually had to make room for more people. Well, they went on shore, and they started building churches. And they ran up against a problem. And the problem they ran up against is that the whites did not want to sit in the same pew as the blacks. So I want you to imagine that on this side of the church, it's all the blacks, and over here on this side of the church is the whites. But if that wasn't bad enough, the whites actually didn't want to see the blacks during the worship service. So what they did was they took a curtain and they put it right down the middle of the church so one side didn't have to look at the other. Here's the problem. The whites didn't want to make room in their life for those who were not of the same color, of the same type, of the same kind. And the question I have for you, are you willing to make room in your life for everybody? Because Jesus said, stop, we need to make room. We need to make room for the thieves, for the harlots. We need to make room for the Samaritans, for the Romans and the Greeks. We need to make room for everybody because the Son of Man came to seek and to save everybody who is lost. And the mission of the church, and I love our church because 52 cultures come and worship here because we seek and save those that are lost. We make room for everybody because the mission is to go into all the world and invite people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So, back to our story. So Jesus comes along and he says, Peter, we need to make some room for people. Peter, will you take your boat and will you row out just a little ways? Now, here's what you need to know about that request. Peter had just worked all night. Now, was there anybody here who has ever worked the night shift? Do we have any nurses in the church or doctors? We got anybody who has ever worked the graveyard shift? My fiance is a nurse. And every so often, and not every so often, actually quite a bit, she has to work the night shift. And her shift begins at 7 o'clock at night, and it ends at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, ladies, let me ask you, after working 12 hours all night, do you think she's in the mood to come home and clean the house? No. How about after 2 days of working night shifts? How about after working three? After three night shifts, my fiance will phone me up driving home from work because she's trying to stay awake, and she wants me to talk to her, and she's incoherent, and I'm like, honey, have you been drinking? I'm teasing. No, actually, I'm not. But no, she doesn't drink. I promise you that. But understand, after 3 days of working night shifts, she is not in the mood to cook, clean, or do anything else. She just wants to go home and go to bed. Peter worked the night shift for a living. And on this day, all he wanted to do was clean his net and go home and go to bed. And Jesus looks at him and says, but Peter, would you just row out a little ways because there's something I need to do, Peter, through you. Not for you. Jesus didn't say, I've got something I want to do for you. He said, Peter, I need to do something through you. You see, a lot of us, we like it when Jesus does something for us. You see, we got room for the blessings. Oh, Lord, you want me to help me find that new boyfriend or girlfriend? God, I got room for that. God, you want to bless my finances? Oh, I got room for that. Lord, you want to put hair on my head? Look, I got lots of room for that, okay? We got room for the blessings, but what about when God comes along and he says, I need you to give a Bible study? Oh, Lord, I'm not sure I got room for that. Well, okay, I got a family in need, and I need you to help them with a little money and some groceries. And well, Lord, I don't know. I don't know that I got, you know, room for that. How about teach a Sabbath school class or greet somebody at the door? And we're like, Lord, I'm not sure I've got room enough for that in my life. You see, everybody has enough room for the blessings. We always have room for the blessings. But is there anybody here today who actually has room for the work? Right? We love the blessings, but do you actually have room in your life to do the work? Because the way we're going to grow this church is to allow God to come into our lives, to make room for Jesus Christ, and then to make room for what he wants to do through this church. And then he'll do something for us, and we'll get to that. But there's first a work he wants to do through you before he does the work for you. So the first thing we want to do if we want to grow this church is we want to make room for Jesus. We want to make room for others. And then the next thing you need to know is that you need to be ready for a little discomfort. Now, let me ask you, is there anybody here who likes to go out in the great out of doors and rough it? I love roughing it. I mean, I am one of those guys, and understand, I grew up in the out of doors, and I'm one of those guys who just loves camping, and you know I love fishing, and you can actually take me, put a backpack on me, give me a sleeping bag and a tarp, and you can drop me off anytime in the wilderness, and I mean just pick me up 2 weeks later, I'm just a happy camper, and I don't care what time of year it is, I love roughing it in the out of doors. And some of you just realized what time of year it is. Some of you are kind of looking out that window when you're going, Pastor, any time of year? But when I was in college, one of my best friends, Darcy McKay, and I decided it would be a blast to go winter camping in the Rocky Mountains. And so we actually trained for this event. We spent a month training, and we decided we wanted to cross-country ski into the backcountry of the Canmore Provincial Park in Alberta. And so we, on this particular weekend, it was a long weekend, we put on our cross-country skis, got our backpacks, our food, all our gear, and we cross-country skied 20 kilometers in country until we found this spot. And this spot is about a 7-foot, 6-foot, 7-foot snowdrift. And what we did for our sleeping arrangements was we dug a hole into the snowdrift, and then we cut some pine boughs, and we lined the floor of our tunnel with the pine boughs, threw in our sleeping mats and our sleeping bags, used some pine boughs for a door, and then, folks, we could heat this with nothing more than a candle. I tell you, it was amazing. The smell of the pine boughs and the warmth from that candle, like, just like, wow. I mean, this was one of the highlights of my life. I loved winter camping. Now, I've got friends whose idea of roughing it is going from a 5-star hotel to a 3. And they will look at me and they will say, why in the world would you do something like this? And here's why. Because there are things you can only experience when you're willing to endure a little discomfort. You see, I have been in the wilderness at night under a full moon, and I've heard the wolves howl and sing at night. I have stood on the tops of mountains at night, and I have gazed into the Milky Way. I have stood out in the middle of a frozen lake. It's minus 55, and I'm watching the Milky Way, and I'm watching the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, dance and weave across the sky. There are some things that can only be experienced when you're willing to endure a little discomfort. And the same is true of miracles. There are miracles that can only be enjoyed when you're willing to endure a little discomfort. Look at this. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment because I know you've read this 100 times. I know that there are those of you who are thinking, okay, I've heard this so often, Pastor, I know how this story ends. But I want you to stay with me because I want to show you something here that I'm not sure you've seen before. Now, what we know is that back in the day, you fished at night. You did not fish during the daytime because the fish actually, this is how it worked. The bait fish would come in along the shore at night and they would feed on the bugs. And then the bigger fish would come in at night and they would feed on the little fish. And you could actually see where the fish were because the water would boil at night. And all you had to do was throw your net over the boiling water and you would catch fish. And so Peter, a professional fisherman, understands and he knows that the only way you catch fish is by the shore and at night. Every single fisherman knew this point. That was life for fishing. But now here's the part of the story that most people have never considered. Why was it that Jesus was in Peter's boat? He was there to make room for all the people who came out to hear the gospel. I want you to picture this scene. Jesus is saying to Peter, I want you to put down your nets. But where are all those people Jesus was preaching to? They're on the shore. I want you to understand that the city of Capernaum was a fishing city. It was a city of professional fishermen. Peter's family, friends, and his fellow professionals were all there, standing there, watching him there that day. And everybody understood you fish during the night, not during the day. Now, Jesus is asking Peter to commit professional suicide. And then look at this. Look at what it says in Luke 5:5. And it says, Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. This is Peter's way of saying, while you slept, I worked during the night. Jesus, it is a hard thing to ask somebody to work all night, come home, listen to a sermon, and by the way, I didn't sleep. I mean, Jesus, there are people here who slept all night and they slept through the sermon, but I didn't do that. Jesus, I worked all night, and I'm tired, and I want to go home, and I want to go to bed. Jesus, what you're asking me is huge because I am tired. But now look at what Peter says. And Peter says this, and by the way, this is faith. This is what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. He said, but because you said so, I will let down my nets. Folks, this is where faith meets reality. Because Peter didn't say to Jesus, I need to know why you're doing this. Peter didn't ask for an explanation. He didn't ask for a money-back guarantee. He didn't ask Jesus if he was going to protect him from embarrassment. He basically said, because you said so, I will do it. That is faith. Now, here's what I've learned about faith. I don't put my faith in people. I don't put my faith in promises. Promises are just words. Anybody can promise you anything. I don't trust promises. What I trust is the character of the person who's making the promise. In other words, I trust what I know to be true about the person who is making the promise to me. And you see, this goes back to my earlier point. What do you know to be true about Jesus? Because you see, if you have not made room for Jesus, you don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you will not follow Jesus. And if you don't follow Jesus, you're not going to obey Jesus. You need to make room for Jesus because our faith is based on what we know to be true about who God is. I don't put my faith in promises. I put my faith in the character of the one who makes the promise. So here's what you need to do. You need to make room in your life for Jesus. You need to make room in your life for what God wants to do in and through you. And the reason you want to do this is because God wants to make more room for people, not less. And if God's going to make more room for people, then understand that if you make room and you're willing to endure a little discomfort, then the next thing you need to know is you need to hold on. Look at this. And when they had gone out and they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, here's what we know based on history and archaeology. The average fishing boat would have been about 23 feet in length. It could hold 14 men, or you could carry in it about 500 kilograms of fish. For our American friends watching online, that's 1,000 pounds of fish. And both boats began to sink. Now, here's why this is important. Because in verse 10, this is what Jesus says to Peter. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Here's what most people miss. I want you to picture the scene. Peter has just put down his net, and the improbable and the impossible just happened. They not only caught fish, they caught so much fish that they're actually sinking two boats. Not one, but two boats. Now, I want you to picture this scene. Peter is in amazement. He is in awe, and he is in fear. He is shaken. And in that state, Jesus takes Peter, and he turns him towards the shore. And they're standing on the shore. Is his family and his friends, his fellow fishermen, people he'd never met before. The Sadducees and the Pharisees are there. There are thousands of people who are standing there on the shore, and Jesus says to Peter, Peter, from now on, that's what I want you to catch. Peter, I want you to catch the hearts and minds of men. And Peter, if you will follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. Do you know what that tells me? That Jesus wants us to catch more fish, not less. That is the mission of the church, to catch more people, not less. Now, I was thinking about how I was going to end this message. And I was praying about it. And God reminded me of another time when I went out and I was roughing it. Now, I don't know about you, but I wanted to do each year back in Alberta. I would do a canoe trip down the North Saskatchewan River. And this one particular year, I went out with my brother-in-law, Tim Deere. Now, this wasn't just a canoe trip. It was actually a hunting and fishing trip. And we were going to spend 4 days on the North Saskatchewan River. And at the end of the 4 days, my good friend, Darcy McKay, I told you about a little earlier, was supposed to show up with a pickup truck and bring us home. And so we got to the end of our trip. And Darcy came out to pick us up, but instead of driving a pickup truck, he was driving this. This is a Chevy Chevette. Now, I don't know if you've ever driven a Chevy Chevette, but this can do 0 to 60 in 4.2 days. I mean, this thing has no power. Now, I remember, this was a canoe trip. This was a camping trip. So I had to figure out how to get three fully grown men, a 17-foot canoe, and all of my hunting and fishing equipment in this. And by the way, did I tell you this was a hunting trip? Did I tell you this was a successful hunting trip? I had bagged a 400-kilogram bull elk. And I have to figure out how to get an elk, the canoe, the life jackets, the paddles, all the fishing, camping, and hunting gear into this. And apparently, I'm really good at Tetris because I made it work. I actually put all the hunting and fishing gear in the canoe, and we strapped it to the top of the Chevette. And then I put the elk in the hatch, Darcy in the back, and Tim and I rode in the front. And we were traveling down Highway 11 in central Alberta, and the Chevette was like this all the way down the road. That was 30 years ago. Today, I drive this. It is a Nissan Xterra. Now, let me tell you what I love about my Xterra. I not only love the 4x4 power, but I love the room. I haven't hunted in years, but I still fish, I still camp, I still rough it, and I love the room that this vehicle provides me. Now, here's where I'm going with this. You see, some of you, when it comes to ministry and mission, you're driving a Chevette when you should be driving a Nissan because you need to make more room. And some of you, you're driving a Nissan when you should be driving a bus because you need to make more room. And some of us are driving a bus when we should have a cruise ship because what we need to make is more room. Church, are you willing to make more room for those that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because if we're going to grow the church, we need to grow, we need to make room, we need to receive the entire world because Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Are you willing to make room? Because here's what I know. If we're going to grow the church, then what I recommend is that you make room for Jesus. Make room to know your Savior. Make room in your life so that you know your Lord. And when you know your Lord, make sure that you have room in your life for the people around you. Because if we're going to grow the church, we're not growing lilies or narcissist plants. We're growing people. And then I want you to be prepared for a little discomfort. You need to be prepared to move out of your comfort zone and endure a little discomfort so that we can go to places and reach those that are lost. And then I want you to hold on because God is going to pour out such a blessing that he's going to fill our nets, sink our Chevettes, our boats, and he's going to fill his church. The question I have for you is this, are you willing to make room in your life? Because you see, Jesus is going up and down in the world. And he's looking for a group of people. He's looking for a group of people who, when he says to go, they will go. A group of people who, when Jesus says, go and make disciples, they will simply say, because you said so, we will. Amen. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you for joining us on The Five Pastors. Today's speaker was Pastor Bob Windsor. If you would like more information on what you heard in today's message, please email us voar@voar.org. Join us Monday to Friday at 10 p.m. for an inspiring message on The Five Pastors.